And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. Now look, on a very serious note, there's a big storm apparently that's going to hit the southeast and maybe to some extent south central part of the country. And our headquarters, of course, in Mississippi could experience some of the, I think the center is a little bit further west, but still it's going to be fairly widespread. So all of you who are in the eye of this storm, expect tornadoes and just a lot of mess. Get somewhere safe, be prayerful, trust God to keep you safe, and let's believe God that we'll get through this without any loss of life and with minimal damage to property, because right now it looks like it's not going to be good. I think here in our area, we're going to get hit, but only slightly. I think usually really, really bad weather, except for hurricanes, which are coming up the coast, don't hit us at the southeast corner of the state because the Gulf air warms up, the Gulf Stream, I should say, warms up the temperatures. And the very worst winter weather, at least, rarely hits us. We get the hurricanes, and further west into the state and southwest, they rarely get hit too hard with any of that because they're hundreds of miles from the coast. So we'll just trust God, okay? Just trust God. And we'll be praying for all of you that are in any way potentially going to be affected by this storm. I was out in Colorado last week, and of course, a major snowstorm hit, and I knew it was coming, but it didn't end until the storm didn't hit until the end of the conference. The conference was over, but once it hit, it dropped 2 feet of snow. I was already gone, but some of the folks out there got stuck. They could not go anywhere because it was simply too much snow. They had to wait. But I understand, believe it or not, out in the Colorado Springs area and out there, which I kind of think of as being really cold, but it's really the temperatures are most severe up in the mountains. And as you get further down, actually they say this, while heavy snow falls, it melts pretty quickly. So even though they do get hit with some heavy snows from time to time, they don't last very long, and they melt away quickly. When I was in Massachusetts, it could start snowing, literally, folks. I'm not exaggerating. It could start snowing the end of October, beginning of November, and you could barely see the ground. In some seasons, you'd barely see the ground until March. That's how bad it was. I mean, that's how much snow would fall. I know we were there one time, 105 inches of snow fell in one winter season. 105 inches. It seemed like it was snowing every single day. So we live in a country with diverse weather patterns. And by the way, you know, this is interesting. I learned this from Thomas Sowell. And don't hold me to the exact number because it's been a while since I've read it. But if I'm not mistaken, Thomas Sowell says that the data shows about 90% of the tornadoes in the world take place in America. You know, every continent, every area has its own kind of winter weather patterns. And you can be in one part of the country where certain things happen, one part of a globe where certain things happen, and then go to another part of the globe where they don't happen at all. It's just really interesting. You think about that. In fact, that's the argument he makes, that essentially there's no such thing as equality. You don't have equality of weather. You don't have equality of geography. You don't have equality of anything. And why people think that we can somehow make everyone equal. Now, look, we're all equal in the sight of God, equally loved by God. But the idea that somehow you can make everybody earn the same thing, have the same thing, in effect, give them the same outcome, regardless of their character, whether they work hard or not, whether they're diligent, whether they study, it's preposterous. But at any rate, praying for all of you who could potentially be in the pathway of the storm that I believe there's a warning out for today, and I think part of tomorrow as well. But it'll be on the move, and as it moves and dissipates, communities will come through it, and we trust on the other side. Again, no life loss, no serious injuries, and minimal property damage. These storms always do some damage to property. My producer, Randy, was telling me about a hurricane that hit that literally stripped everything off of a pickup truck except the frame. I mean, literally left the frame standing. That's how powerful these tornadoes can be. That's amazing. But yeah, it's here again. If you're in the pathway of some of this stuff, get to safety and stay there until it passes, and trust God, of course, as well. But do what is prudent. You know, we don't just trust God and stand out in the middle of stuff. You know, we trust God and then we do what is prudent. Jesus said, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." So we do what is prudent to protect ourselves and our families as well. Well, so that's a very serious note. On another note, folks, from some of you have from time to time called me doctor, because after Jill Biden made clear that she is to be called doctor, and since I have a Juris Doctor, I just thought, you know, I should demand the same thing. I mean, after all, they did call me Dr. Jackson. So, you know, of course, you know. But here, you may find that after I give you this next story, you may find that I am really worthy of that title. You may decide, yes, indeed, he is indeed Dr. Jackson. Folks, I have discovered, I've finally cracked the code. I've discovered that there is a new virus that is running around the country. It's called ROS. ROS. Now, you haven't heard this yet. This is breaking news here on The Awakening on American Family Radio. Remember, you heard it here first. ROS is a new virus, a disease that affects the brain. And ROS stands for Race Obsession Syndrome. Race Obsession Syndrome. Now, this is a very serious thing, which produces very serious symptoms, such as, for example, the nothing is ever my fault syndrome. Okay? It's somebody else's fault. The everything is racial syndrome. You know what else? It creates selective color blindness. In other words, you can see every color. The color of the rainbow flag, the homosexual flag, stands out bright and bold. But the only colors you can't see are red, white, and blue when strung together to make the American flag. This syndrome creates a blindness to those colors. It involves an obsessive worship of George Soros and Barack Obama and every other prominent, well-known leftist you can think of. Including Saul Alinsky and Karl Marx, an obsessive worship of people like Fidel Castro and Che Guevara and Hugo Chavez and Ho Chi Minh and you just go down, you know, Mao Zedong, yeah. That's part of the syndrome of ROS disease. In fact, it involves an obsession, attraction to Marxism and all the ideologies of socialism and communism that it produces. And by the way, it makes you highly allergic to people of European ancestry. Yeah, you have a profound allergy to people of European ancestry. Oh, and don't forget this part. I'll tell you the antidote session in a second. But it also makes you obsessed with every disparate impact on the basis of race or skin color, except abortion. It gives you a complete insensitivity to the scourge of abortion and its disparate impact. Don't catch ROS. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
This administration has declared a war on terror, but they aren't thinking about a war on Islamic terrorism. No, they're talking about a war on violent extremists in America. Now, you might think they want to go after Antifa and other groups that have been rioting and vandalizing, but I don't think that's their target either. There's a great deal of ambiguity in defining who are the targets of the new domestic war on extremists, and I think that they are intentionally being ambiguous about their intended targets. We do have a few hints. The newly installed Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, argued that the military needed to rid itself of racists and extremists in its ranks. He even ordered a 60-day stand down to root out white supremacism and extremism. Terms like white supremacy have often been applied to a large number of individuals. General Stanley McChrystal says he sees terrifying parallels between Islamic terrorists with Al-Qaeda and the people who stormed the Capitol on January 6th. Former CIA Director John Brennan recently talked about what looked like insurgency movements overseas that could bring together an unholy alliance here of religious extremists, authoritarians, fascists, bigots, racists, nativists, and even libertarians. Religious extremists? Would conservative Christians fit into that category? Libertarians? Some of these terms have been so broadly applied that a large portion of America could be identified as domestic extremists. It is time to ask this administration to speak plainly. Who do they believe is a threat? Why do they believe those groups are a threat to America? Are they talking about us? I wonder if they refuse to be precise because they want all of us to be afraid. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Loneliness, go to viewpoints.info/loneliness. That's viewpoints.info/loneliness.
Hey, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International. You know, it was 110 degrees in Ethiopia, Africa. Hundreds had gathered for Sunday worship outdoors, and I learned that some had walked an hour or more just to be there. Afterwards, I met Cademan, hunched over a table and frantically copying scriptures from an Amharic language Bible to a lined piece of paper. Then his face turned sad as he closed the Bible and handed it back to its rightful owner. Only a few in that church to have a Bible. You see, Cademan loves the Lord, leads his family, is faithful at worship, but he's never read a single verse in his own Bible because he does not own one. While we in America can open our Bibles every day, 9 of 10 Christians in parts of Africa are denied God's Word. And that's why Bible League is focused right now on Africa, the place in the world where Christianity is growing in the greatest numbers. A Bible can be sent for $5. $50 will send 10. Learn how you can be a blessing by calling 800-YES-WORD. 800-YES-WORD or by visiting sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Yes, folks, don't forget to check out our podcast. Very, very important. Just go to AFR.net and scroll down, and you can find this program, The Awakening. It's put up usually within a couple of hours after the program is over. Share it with a friend, a neighbor, a loved one, and check it out yourself. If there are things that you want to hear again or things that you want to maybe take some notes about that you've heard on the program, but really is helpful to us that you go and check out those podcasts. So thank you for doing that. Now, there's an antidote for ROS, folks. There's an antidote. Now, there's no vaccine yet. We're working on it. But there are antidotes. Here's the first antidote, the Word of God. The Word of God is the antidote for race obsession syndrome. You stay in the Word of God and you begin to love people as God's creation and for His desire to do them good and to see them reach their highest potential and to exercise the gifts and abilities that He's put in them. That is a very strong antidote. In fact, you get into the Word of God and you believe it and receive it into your heart. And believe me, it'll kill ROS. It'll kill that virus in the brain. The second, of course, is faith in Jesus Christ. And the two go together, right? If you get steeped in the Word of God, of course, Jesus is the Word of God incarnate. And so you do that, believe me, ROS is going, folks. It is going to be completely and totally cured. And here's a third thing that people have been known to do to help them get over ROS, quarantining yourself from the mainstream media, from leftists and Democrats. Yeah, I know you may have good friends and some of them, but you may have to quarantine yourself from some of them because they are carriers. they're carriers of our OS, and they will infect you. Now, you know, of course, this is all a little tongue-in-cheek, but you know what got me thinking about this? A very serious story got me thinking about this, and it's the story of the shootings down in Atlanta. I watched the press conference today because obviously I'm interested. 8 people did. And I know that's a very, very serious story, and I'm not making light of that. But here's what hit me. This guy, apparently, from what he told the police, went to these massage parlors, which apparently double as massage parlors in institutions of prostitution. Apparently, at least that's the implication. Now, they didn't discuss that, but it was quite clear from the context, at least that he believed that, and apparently he had frequented these places and he wasn't just getting massage, okay? So I'm not trying to slander these people. I'm just reporting you the story as was reported by the Sheriff's Department and other law enforcement in Atlanta. He had been to these places before, and he apparently thinks of himself as a Christian. I don't know whether he is or not, whether he ever accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior at any point in his life, or whether he's just a churchgoer or somebody who's associated with the church because he was brought up in the church but never really made it his own faith commitment to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. But at any rate, as he explained it to the police, he was tempted sexually by these massage parlors, and he just got to the point where he couldn't stand it. He was frustrated and decided the way to end his temptation was to go and kill the people who worked in these massage parlors. Okay, that's bizarre, right? But that's apparently what his thinking was. So in the course of the conference, they're asking these questions about him. And here's where they go. And I mean, reporter after reporter after reporter. Is there any indication that these were Asian people? Is there any indication this was hate crime? Is there any indication that he was targeting Asian people? Because, you know, Asian people are being targeted. Asian people are being attacked. Asian people, you know. And they didn't want to let it go. And the police just kept saying, we have no reason right now to think of this as a hate crime. Yeah, but they were Asian people, primarily Asian people who got killed. Yeah, but of course there were also 2 Americans of European descent and 1 American of Hispanic descent, I assume was an American of Hispanic descent. Well, the Hispanic American was shot, I believe, but not killed and is expected to survive. The 2 Americans of European descent are both dead. So he killed 8 people, wounded several others. But they kept going back again and again. And I just sat there and listened to that. And I thought, these people, it's like they have an obsession. They said that he said, no, it had nothing to do with that. This is what it had to do with. And he explained it as a sexual obsession. And he was apparently going to Florida to do more of them. Now, this is what I mean. Here are the questions that they did not ask. So are these massage parlors really houses of prostitution? You would think you'd want to know, right? Or is he just imagining things? Because if they're houses of prostitution, they're illegal. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that they deserve to have somebody go in there and kill them. I'm not saying that, okay? So please don't misunderstand me. But I'm just saying that it seems to me that that's a question that you would want to ask given the explanation that this man has given, because the police officers could say, we have no indication whatsoever that these are anything but massage parlors, in which case now you know something, which is he's delusional. But he's probably not, because a lot of these massage parlors are in fact houses of prostitution. Now, I've read articles about this stuff. And here again, I do not know why many of them seem to be run by Asian people. That apparently is a thing. I have no data as to what the percentage is. So I'm not saying they're all run by Asians, but clearly it's prevalent. It's noticeable, right? It's noticeable. He didn't go in there, according to him at least, to kill Asian people. He went in there to kill the people who he, in his own deluded mind, were helping him to commit sin that he could not live with. And so here's the second question that they did not ask. I mean, not a single reporter asked this question. Well, is he going to be examined for mental illness? Because, folks, if you go in to kill people because of something that you believe you are doing wrong, but they are the vehicle whereby you do it, what have you accomplished? I mean, if that's in fact the case, what's he going to do? Go kill everybody in every massage parlor he can find? The man clearly is sick, right? I mean, that's obvious, right? He's sick. That doesn't mean he doesn't deserve to be punished. But clearly, he needs help. But you know what? These mainstream media people need help too, because they completely miss that, because they're busy asking, what about, was he out to kill Asians? Was he out to kill Asians? Was he out to kill Asians? You know, people are killing Asians all over the country. They're going after Asians. And folks, I keep hearing this, but I haven't seen any evidence of it at all. I have. If you have, again, I asked, we had an Asian listener say, no, I haven't experienced any of that. I haven't witnessed it. Haven't been subjected to it. See, I believe these people have an obsession with race and an obsession with proving that the country is a racist country, and they just had to put a racial patina on this. And then, of course, another story broke, which is Gavin Newsom out in California saying that the reason for the recall petition has nothing to do with his incompetence, nothing to do with his closing down California, nothing to do with the loss of jobs, nothing to do with the deaths of people in nursing homes that he sent people infected with COVID into, nothing to do with any of that. No, it has to do with the Browning of California. That's what it's all about. It's immigration. That's what it's all about. It's racism. And you know, it just hit me. This is a syndrome. This obsession with race. Everything is racial. Everything. And these people, to tell you the truth, now look, to be just clear about it, what they need is to have the devil cast out. They need to have the devil, the demons cast out of them. Because these people are, they're certainly demonically influenced, if not demonically possessed. I mean, you got a bunch of people killed, and you've got to turn it into a racial issue. You've just got to do that. They were fishing, trying to find, is there a hook we can give this that will make this a race crime? And they were frustrated that they weren't getting the kinds of answers they were looking for, so they couldn't make it that. And Gavin Newsom, with his simple self, got the nerve to put his problems. See, that's one of the syndromes. Nothing's ever my fault. Nothing's ever my fault. Here's another syndrome. Here's another symptom of the syndrome. Everything is racial. Everything is racial. So we need to purge our country of this nonsense. We really do, folks. And these leftists are never going to do it. It's going to be up to us as Christians to do it so that we can march forward into the future for this country without this syndrome, this virus plaguing the brains of our people and turning their brains into mush. Because that is exactly what's happening. It's turning their brains into mush. And you all know what I'm talking about. Every time anything happens, somebody... Just the Meghan Markle thing. You criticize Meghan Markle, oh, you're racist. You're racist. And it's like, you can't point out an idiot who's an idiot if that person is not of the same complexion as you, because if you do that, it's not that they're an idiot, and I'm simply pointing it out. it's that, no, you're a racist. You are a racist. I mean, you know, this stuff just needs to stop. Senator Ron Johnson, when he pushed back on his comments about feeling safe around Trump supporters, he's a racist. That was a racist comment. No, I'm just pointing out what my experience has been. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Weilman.
When life deals some people a hard blow, they cry and quit. When life deals others a similar blow, they grit their teeth, dig in with determination, and defeat their defect. History records many such cases where people have overcome tremendous obstacles en route to success. One such example is known by many school children the world over. It's such an inspiring story that it's worth sharing. There was a young Greek boy whose father was very rich. But while the boy was still a lad, his father died and his wealth was entrusted to three guardians. These men proved dishonest and wasted the boy's inheritance. So he knew what it was to grow up absent his father's wealth. This young boy had one burning desire. He wanted to become the greatest speaker that Greece had ever produced. His desire made him look foolish in the eyes of other people because it was the worst possible profession, they thought, for which the boy was suited. The boy's voice was so soft and weak that even in a conversation, people had a difficult time hearing what he said. Many people said his voice was unpleasant and that he spoke in an awkward manner. And to further complicate matters, the boy stammered very badly. He could not even recite a poem without hesitating and stumbling so that people laughed at him. But this young boy practiced. Day after day, month after month, year after year, he practiced. He would climb mountains while practicing his speaking, and in the process, he was developing his lungs. Often he would go down to the seashore, put pebbles in his mouth, and practice speaking clearly over the roar of the ocean waves. Before long, his weak voice had disappeared, and he could make himself heard above the roar of the ocean or the noise of an angry crowd. As a young man, the people of Greece recognized him as one of the greatest speakers which they had ever known. Not only could he speak loud and clear, but he could move his listeners to the emotional level he desired. So magnificent was his speaking ability that he could make his audience cry or laugh whenever he so desired. His ability to persuade people practically knew no limits. Many times in life we sell ourselves short, give up too easily. Many times, with hard work and dedication, we can accomplish a goal which seems impossible. Life is kind to a person who has a dream and is willing to put forth his best to make that dream come true. Some 360 years after the death of the man who overcame severe obstacles to become the greatest Greek speaker, a Nazarene carpenter told a group of his followers, "If you have faith as big as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Go from here to there,' and it will go. You can do anything." Well, there have been countless people who have taken that carpenter at his word, and the world will never know how many mountains these people have moved. If life has seemingly cut you short on talents, don't give up. Set your goal and pursue it with the most dedication and ability you have. It will pay a handsome reward. The greatest Greek speaker was Demosthenes. If you've never heard of him, look him up. It's a story worth reading.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
The number is 888-589-8840. Just to continue with this theme, Stacey Abrams has said that efforts in Georgia to reform the electoral process to make sure that people can't commit fraud and can't cheat. She said that it is the, she called it, redux of Jim Crow in a suit and tie. So she said this is nothing but Jim Crow segregation. I don't know how in the world is Jim Crow segregation when everybody's required to meet the same standard to vote. Everybody. It is only Jim Crow segregation if you assume that the standards that everybody's required to meet simply can't be met by certain people. And that's her assumption. Here again, she suffers from ROS, race obsession syndrome. And apparently, a lot of people in the country are suffering from this syndrome, and the left are carriers of it, and they're spreading it far and wide everywhere they can go to everyone they can spread it to. Are you opposed to illegal immigration? Well, of course, because it's illegal. Oh, you're a racist. No. I'm an American who believes in the sovereignty of our own country and our ability to manage our borders and determine who can come into our country and how and when. It has nothing to do with race. And I don't care whether they're coming across the Canadian border or the southern border, the northern border, the southern border, or they're coming by ship. However, they've got to come legally. I mean, or is the assumption of the left that, to use their words, people of color or Hispanic people are too stupid to be able to go through the process? Is it that they lack the character, they lack the ability? Is that what they're saying? Because I don't believe that. Now, I think they've been encouraged to believe that by these administrations, like Joe Biden now is trying to say, I didn't encourage them to come. I didn't encourage a surge. Folks, I don't have it for you today, but you know what? I'll try to get that for you. But there's tape of him saying he wanted a surge to the border. He wanted a surge. Well, don't get me off on that. I could take off on the tangent of the hypocrisy of the left. Because, see, here's the bottom line. When power is your God, anything goes. Consistency's out the window, just like with the filibuster right now. There is gobs of tape of Democrats saying that ending the filibuster would destroy the Senate as we know it and would be a strike against democracy. Now that they've got control of the Senate, they're saying the filibuster is against democracy and it's got to go. Same people saying exactly the opposite. So it's all about power. It really is. It's not about caring about people at all. It's about power. Let me hit a couple of other things and come to some of your calls. Let's see. Oh, I think I mentioned this yesterday. Yeah, you know, the other thing about this, all this illegal immigration stuff. Oh, no. You know what I want to just mention? Politicizing the military. I would just put that on the table as the last thing. Politicizing the military. You know, we have a military that is controlled by civilians. And generally speaking, I know when I was in the military, we were told, you stay out of politics. Because we have to serve whatever administration's in power. We have to obey the orders of whoever happens to be the commander-in-chief at that moment. And we didn't get involved in the political squabbles that the administration might be engaged in, because our job is to serve our fellow countrymen no matter who's in power. And they're completely trampling that principle now by trying to turn the military into some sort of political social experiment. The Secretary of Defense comes in immediately. We have to purge the military of the I don't know whether he used the term white supremacist, but the extremists. Yeah, the extremists in the military. I don't even know what that means. I talked to, I'm going to come right to your calls. I talked to a prominent law enforcement person not too long ago. And you know what they told me? They told me the idea that the greatest danger to the country is white supremacists is preposterous. It's the people on the left. He said, not that they don't exist, and not that in their small pockets where they do exist, that they're not dangerous. They are. But in terms of being a threat to the country? But here again, ROS, race obsession syndrome. Let's come to your calls. Let's go to Amy in Oklahoma. Amy, welcome.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for calling.
Okay, I want to give some comment about what's going on in Colorado. Is it in Colorado that shooting happened?
The shooting was in the shooting of the massage parlors was in Georgia.
Oh, in Georgia. Okay. I'm an Asian, and I understand what's going on that situation. Usually Asian, also usually people from Thailand, they are the one expert on that. I think most, even here in Oklahoma, there's a bunch of Thai people, Americans from Thailand, who made a business of nail technician,
right.
You know, masseuse. So it happens here, the next town where I live, the police raided the massage parlor, mm-hmm. because they use it as a, they got a tip that it, you know, there's a prostitution that's been going uh-huh. on there. So they caught and they put in prison, and those people who did that, and the owner is from Thailand, and she's bringing uh-huh. young people here in the States and work in her business to be a prostitute. Mm-hmm. And there are some white people that's been involved too. So this is not about racial thing. This
right.
is about their business. They're making business, but they made it wrong. I mean,
right.
you know, they can be a good business, but when you put something like prostitution, that's wrong. So it's not a racist thing.
Amy, I am so glad you called, and you are absolutely right. And here again, this is the race-obsessed people try to make this about race so that you can't speak the truth about things. And I'm not quite sure, Amy, whether this is some kind of underworld operation. That's my suspicion, but I don't have any facts to back that up. But I suspect that there are people in the underworld who are behind a lot of this stuff, which is why they're kind of trafficking people into this endeavor, that there are others behind the scenes making a lot of money. But it is not a racial thing. It's a human thing. It's just a human problem. You know, one of the things that I hear people get criticized for is when a person says, well, I don't see race. I don't see race. And people say, well, you have to see race. That's, in fact, you know, people will say that's racist. But when people say that, what they're saying is not my eyes are incapable of seeing people of differing complexions or appearances. They're saying, I don't judge people on the basis of their appearance, their race, their complexion. What they're saying when they say, I don't see race, they're saying, I don't see that as the definition of who the person is. It's their character that matters, not their skin color. And so that's where we need to go. I think we need to have more Americans, not fewer, saying, I don't see skin color. You know, and I know that offends some people. Even I've heard some conservatives say, well, that's not really valid. I think it's very valid because I know what it really means. Not that I'm blind to how you appear as a human being, but it means I don't judge you or evaluate you on that basis, but on the basis of your character and your competence. Stand by, folks. Coming right back to your calls in a moment.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Here are some of our core values. AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
I'm Francine Perry. I am the mother of Laura Perry, who was a prodigal for 9 years. And I would just like to tell you that prayer changes things. Yes, you grieve over the prodigal, but God will comfort you. The Holy Spirit will comfort you.
Submit a prayer request for a prodigal at inhisimage.movie/prayer.
My heart's desire is that more churches would start a prodigal box because we all have someone.
inhisimage.movie/prayer.
The following are real-life stories from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt.
I used my credit cards as a source of income.
It was not a good situation.
I couldn't pay my bills.
The interest on the cards was really high.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
I initially was scared to call, and immediately I felt relieved.
They contacted all of our creditors, and they put us on a plan for success.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
I've been able to pay off close to $15,000.
We're doing a lot better.
Please pick up the phone and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
It's a godsend.
We're debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
I think conditional love is not love at all. It's manipulation.
Dr. Gary Chapman on Focus on the Family Minute.
If I do this, this, and this, then they'll do this, this, and this for me. That's manipulation. You know, teenagers often manipulate parents that way, especially if they know the love language. They say, if you know my love, you know my love language, if you love me, you'd buy me this. You know, they try to manipulate you, you know.
You've probably gotten a few letters
like
that.
Yeah. Well, spouses can do the same thing, you know. And it's manipulation, it's not love. Love is looking out for the interest of the other person. And you're right, it's not natural. What's natural is to love the people who love us. Be kind to the people who are kind to us. But with God's help, we can show unconditional love to our children, to our spouse, and to other people. And in so doing, we're being an instrument of God to touch their hearts.
When you really know God's love, you can share that with others. Hear more from Dr. Chapman today at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Now, you know, that call from Marie as an Asian woman, it was very instructive because she pointed out she's seen this, these places be raided and found that they're places of prostitution. And I'm not saying that all of them are like that because I just don't know. But I will say this. Wouldn't you think that reporters would be curious about whether any young people were killed, whether this is a place where these are places where they're engaged in human trafficking or where underworld people are involved. In other words, organized crime is involved and they're funneling people into our country and then putting them in these institutions to be used and abused. Wouldn't you think there'd be some curiosity about that? No, none, none. The only curiosity is, was this racial? Was he out to get Asians? Missing everything else because of ROS, race obsession syndrome. If there is in fact a whole bevy of these institutions across our country, then you better believe, particularly coming from Thailand, they're engaged in human trafficking and they're using children in that. And that ought to be one of the stories that any decent, competent reporter would be interested in following up on. But oh no, not interested in that. Because even doing that story, you know, no, that might be racist. You might be racist to do a story like that. Oh, no, you can't do that. They're Asians. You can't. Oh, Lord, deliver us. Let's go to Marie, also in Oklahoma. Marie, welcome.
Oh, hello. Thank you for taking my call. I listen to you every day, and I just want to tell you, my heart is broken. I'm 80-plus years old. I was born at the Belgian and French border and grew up with the Gestapo at my family, my grandparents' dairy farm. And wow. I can say that, and my husband now is a black man. We're a military family. My husband is a retired soldier, was combat medic in Vietnam. Two of our three sons are veterans. And I just want to say that it's breaking my heart to see that everyone is allowing all this to happen. We're so mixed in my family. I have a deceased husband who was from Puerto Rico. And my children, I have those three children of Puerto Rican descent. My husband is black. Our son is black. And, you know, our two grandsons are white with green eyes. But they have a black father. You know, and it is, all this is breaking my heart. But what I'm afraid of, We're allowing a fourth branch of government to come and rule the country. We should not allow this. People should know what history is about and really learn about this. But I only want to say something, and if you allow me to read a quote from General Norman Schwarzkopf.
Go ahead, Marie.
He said, "We were Protestants and Catholics and Jews and Muslims and Buddhists and many other religions fighting for a common and just cause because that's what your military is. And we were black and white and yellow and brown and red. And we noticed that when our blood was shed in the desert, it did not separate by race. It flowed together."
Mm.
And
wow.
He puts it all together.
Yeah, Marie. And that's America, isn't it? That's America.
I have some grandchildren in the military, and, you know, they're breaking us apart, but we're a strong people. I know a lot of veterans, a lot of young, strong people. We have to stop this, or we'll never have another free election.
Wow. Marie, listen, I've got to take some other calls, but Marie... Wow, thank you so much. That was powerful. And General Norman Schwarzkopf is one of my heroes. I think he's a great American, a great patriot. And I could not agree with you more. That's America. America is made up of people from all kinds of places all over the globe. And what ought to unite us is this common commitment to freedom and to the values that make it possible for everyone to experience the very best that the nation has to offer, rather than dividing ourselves as the mainstream media has, and of course with help from others as well, that everything is about race. Everything is about division. So, wow, Marie, congratulations to you and to your family, and thank you all for your service too, Marie. Wow, you got a military family there, and God bless you all for what you've done for this country. Let's go to Laurie. Wow, we got a lot of Oklahoma folks today. Laurie, welcome.
Thank you for taking my call, sir. I appreciate you and your program. I listen to you almost every day.
Thank you.
I wanted to tell you that what your earlier caller addressed about the massage parlors was very true. I work for a 501c3 that fights human trafficking through education and awareness. And when it comes to locations like that, and we do see a situation where children, very young children, are trafficked and sold, and they will shoot out, they will fight, they will do everything they can to hold on to people because people are not people, they're products. And one person can make over $250,000 a year for a trafficker. And so believe me, it has nothing to do with the color of a person's skin. Slavery in and of itself, modern day or transatlantic, is not bound in skin type. Because at one point or another, all different races of people have been kept in bondage or slavery. The Jews, Chinese, all people, white folks in Europe, slavery, when you try to bring it down to black versus white, you do an injustice to the entire world because it is birthed in the heart of man and where we first sin. And I'm telling you, it's a crime shame that the media is not seizing the opportunity to address the real pandemic in this country, which is...
Wow. Laurie, I think we lost you, but thank you so much for the call. Laurie, very, very, very eloquently stated. And again, folks, right, it's not the skin, it's the sin. It's not about race, it's about righteousness. And the same syndrome of sin has infected every single human being except Jesus Christ, but every other human being who has lived and every other demographic group of people have experienced the vagaries, the vicissitudes, and all of the consequences of sin, including slavery and subjugation and abuse and murder. That's part of the problem, too. The left has this idea that they want to create these victim classes. But, you know, on one level, we've all been victims. All of our ancestry includes victimization. But we've got to get over that and start focusing on the future that we want to build for our children and grandchildren and those who come behind us. So wow, thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Wiley in Mississippi. Wiley, welcome.
Yeah, Bishop, I've been trying to get through for several weeks. Yeah, on this white supremacy and privilege stuff, it's like this. People who founded this country were both supreme and privileged, not because they was white, but because they were Christians. But it just so happens they were white. Even now, the descendants of those people who maintain their belief in God are supremacy and privilege, just as all God's people are, regardless of their race. People who know God have a confidence and a glow about the future that gets mistaken for an arrogance by the reprobates on the left. They're jealous they don't have this confidence. People that go to heaven will certainly be supreme and privileged.
So, amen. You know. Amen. Well, listen, Wiley, believe me, I don't know whether it was worth waiting for you to come on from your perspective, but it was certainly worth waiting for mine, because I think, again, that is a very eloquent statement. In fact, I'll tell you the truth. I think our founding fathers didn't even think of themselves as white as much as they thought of themselves as British subjects. And, of course, there was all kinds of tension between Britain and France and between Great Britain and many other nations of the world. So you're right, but they were privileged because most of them were, in fact, Christians, and they believed that God had his hand on them and ultimately had his hand on the providence of this country's birth, its formation. So thank you for the call. Let's go to Miller in Mississippi. Miller, welcome.
Thanks, Dr. Jackson, for taking my call. And thanks for your diagnosis on the doctor. Thank you, Dr. Jackson, for taking my call.
Right. Thank you. And on the race obsession syndrome?
Yeah, thank you for that diagnosis, please. That was nice. I don't know if you remember a while back I called you and I told you that I thank you for your voice, for being the voice that I couldn't be because of your platform that you have.
I remember.
But I just got to mention this to you, man. I heard you say on the radio one day that your father called them fools.
Educated fools, yep.
Educated fools. My father called them the same thing, man.
Is that
so I just
right?
had to get you in. It's just, I'm beginning to think, man, we got more coming than I
right.
But listen, I want to ask you something, Dr. Jackson. Give me one thing, and I'm not trying to put President Trump on a pedestal, but give me one thing that he's been wrong about. I mean, he told us about the filibuster, what the Democrats would do time they got in office. They're trying to do it. He told us about the media being the public enemy. I mean, it just goes on. And I know I got time limits, but I could just go on and on about things that he was right about and nobody listened. Give me one thing he's been wrong about.
You know, I think from a substantive policy perspective, I can't think of a thing he's been wrong about. I think the only thing that he's done that has given them plenty of ammunition to throw at him, of course, they want to do that anyway because he's not a leftist, he's not a liberal, he's not a Democrat, and that's all they needed. It's just they don't like his style. So he says exactly what's on his mind, unfiltered, and they can always twist that and turn that into, just like with Johnson. When Johnson said, hey, I wasn't worried about going to a Trump rally. I've been to many of them. They've always been peaceful. He said, and that's not where the violence is. That's racist. So no matter what you say, they're never going to be happy. And I, you know, I used to think, man, maybe if he said that a little different way. But, you know, I don't think any way he would ever have said anything would have ever been satisfactory to them. So, but I think on policy, as far as I can tell, the man batted 1,000. I'm serious. He batted 1,000. Gave us the greatest economy I think we've had in modern history. Black folks, Hispanic folks, women, employed to the max. The country coming together, patriotic, proud of our country, proud to be Americans, and the left just couldn't stand it. So I think President gets plenty of accolades and should. He deserves them. That's going to do it, folks. Got to go. Remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.